Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and we are here on Azure Friday learning all about Azure automation. We've got Chris Sanders, who's going to dig a little bit more into some more sophisticated techniques. I mean, I've written a lot of PowerShell scripts, but not anything that couldn't get done within a minute or two. Nothing long running, nothing that needed to be kind of resilient.
Right. So one of the key things about the Azure Automation Service that we created is that it's built on PowerShell workflow. And PowerShell workflow is built on PowerShell, so you can take your PowerShell skills and extend them into the workflow world. Now, two of the big features that PowerShell workflow gives us are, one, it allows you to run tasks in parallel. Mm-hmm. And another really big one here is it allows you to put in commands within your workflow that if there is a failure of your workflow, you can save the workflow state and then resume it from that point in the workflow. And this is a sort of a resumability feature, which is a big deal if you have tasks that are long running. So you have a task that takes 20 or 30 minutes, you've done all this work. Finally, you come to one point in the task where you're reaching out to some external system and say the network is down or whatever. The workflow can stop at that point. It'll be suspended. The checkpoint is in the state of the workflow, which is like the variables, any output, is saved to the database, our database in Azure Automation. You could then see what the problem is, go fix it, come back and resume the workflow from that point. So you don't have to repeat that 15 minutes of work. Another scenario is, say you're creating, you know, one of the things that Azure Automation is used for is to create resources and to manage resources within Azure.
Right.
And when you're doing that, you don't want to, say you've created a bunch of resources and then some problem occurs and the workflow suspends, you don't want to recreate those resources. So you want to be able to resume the workflow again, and it'll start from the point that it stopped at and continue. And that's the one I'm going to give a demo on today. A scenario is you want to stop a workflow on purpose. So say you have a workflow that does some work, you stop it, it sends you some message, then you can go and do some other work like get permissions to upgrade a whole bunch of VMs or something.
Sure.
Once you've got that all set, you can come back and resume the workflow and it'll keep going. So those are, I mean, it's a big, big feature in Windows workflow, in PowerShell workflow that we use in Azure Automation. So what I'd like to do today is show you say you're using Azure for building up test beds and then tearing them down. Mm-hmm. So that's something you've got to build a whole bunch of resources, you've got to take them away. And one of the things you're going to build is some storage accounts. So I'm going to use a workflow here that does that. So we're going to create a couple of storage accounts. And if you look at the script here, you can see that within this workflow, I have a thing called checkpoint workflow, and that's going to checkpoint it. I have a for each loop, which is going to loop through a couple of account names and create those. And the scenario is that one of the storage accounts that we want to create didn't get cleaned up from before. It was still sitting there.
Okay.
So the workflow is going to go through. It's going to create one of the storage accounts. It's going to try to create the second one. It's going to fail. I can go look at the job and then go back and delete that and then restart this runbook, and it'll finish the second one.
So let's take a moment, though, and dig into this idea of checkpoint workflow. Two things that I notice here that I'm not familiar with from a PowerShell person's perspective is this says workflow. It doesn't say function or anything. It says workflow. So it's explicitly using this PowerShell workflow concept. And then this checkpoint workflow, that's a command that comes with PowerShell workflow?
Exactly. It's one of the activities within PowerShell workflow. Mm-hmm.
And by saying checkpoint workflow, am I saying I'm worried something bad will happen?
Exactly. You know that there's a potential that something could go wrong at this point. So you're going to say, okay, at this point here, we're going to take the state of the workflow. We're going to persist all the variable values. We're going to persist any output. And all the information we need is going to be put into the Azure Automation database so that it could be taken back out, put into the PowerShell workflow engine, rehydrated, and the workflow would start from the point of this checkpoint.
I see. Now, there's multiple things after this. We're in the middle of a loop here, and we've got a couple of 1, 2, 3 commands.
Right.
This is not exception handling, though. This is basically last known good state.
Exactly. So if anything went wrong with any of these commands in here, caused the runbook to suspend, and then we resumed it would resume from the last checkpoint that was taken.
And it doesn't know that it's resumed. It's really kind of transparent. I don't have to do anything. I don't see you storing anything or squirreling away any variables.
No, it's totally transparent. Once you put this in here, it just works. And all you got to worry about is that it's been saved. Most of the time, this will happen and you'll never have to use it. But if you have to use it, you're glad you did, because then you don't have to repeat the
work. forgive my ignorance, but why wouldn't I sprinkle checkpoint workflow after everything?
Well, that, I mean, that, there's a, we have a whole blog on that. And in,
so it's not a bad question.
Right. We have a blog on checkpointing in service management automation and Azure automation. And there's actually commands. And so let me, I have a couple of examples here, if I could, to show you that.
Let's do it.
Illustrate that exact question. So what I've done here is I've put together a little fake runbook to show you some of the examples that that you can use. And there's several ways that PowerShell workflow allows you to checkpoint a workflow. So let's take an example here using the checkpoint workflow activity. Mm-hmm. So say in this case you're downloading some updates, and you're gonna reboot VMs. You're gonna update some VMs. So you download some updates, you reboot a VM, and then you you checkpoint the workflow so that you can save the state, and then you email the team, and then you checkpoint the workflow again. So that's one scenario. Another is you can use PS persist, where in this case you download some updates. After you reboot the VM, you persist the workflow, you save it, because you, at this point here, the reason you checkpoint the workflow is if it failed at this point before it emailed the team, you don't want to redo the download updates and reboot the VMs again. You don't want to redo that.
You just want to do
that once. Mm-hmm. So that's why you put a checkpoint here, so that if it fails, it would never redo these steps again. Mm-hmm. And you would just keep going.
I see. And PS persist is what they call a ubiquitous parameter. It's something that goes on in any...
Right, so this is what they call a workflow common parameter. Mm-hmm. It does the same thing as checkpoint workflow, but you know, checkpoint workflow will just checkpoint the workflow at that point. Mm-hmm. PS persist will, you can add it to any activity mm-hmm. within PowerShell workflow, and it will persist. It'll do the same thing as checkpoint workflow, but it does it right after this one finishes. Mm-hmm. So it's just another way of doing it. Okay, so right after reboot VM will persist. Right after email team will persist, okay?
Cool.
So checkpoint and persist are kind of used interchangeably. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do one thing here. I want to get this,
this other one
started. I'll come right back to this because I want to get this other other runbook started just to get it going.
No worries. So this is back to the storage account one. And we're
so this is back to the storage account one. I want to get it started so that while we're talking, it'll be running.
All right.
Now we'll go back to this other one here. Good. And I'll talk about a couple more examples.
It is nice that all these things are asynchronous. You can go and do multiple things at once here. You can see that running in the background. Let's
see. And then, so we talked about checkpoint workflow. We talked about PS persist. Mm-hmm. There's another one that PowerShell workflow will give you, which is a general statement. So at the very top, you can use this preference variable. Mm. And you could say PS persist preference equals true if you wanted to. This is a little bit heavy. What it does is it will persist after every single activity in your workflow.
Ah.
And you know that's not horrible because the persistence does take a little bit of time. You gotta hydrate the state of the thing.
Right.
It doesn't hurt storage though in us because we only store one copy, which is the latest checkpoint. So it won't litter the database with checkpoints.
But in this case, they're using it. I can see that they're doing almost as a scope. This is not the kind of thing you'd want to set at the top of a script and forget about. You're going to be judicious about this and be smart.
Exactly. So if you wanted to save the time of putting checkpoint or putting PS persist everywhere, mm-hmm. you could just put this around a piece of your code and say, I want to persist everything after every single activity, it would persist. And you can do it that way.
But thinking about the example that's running in the background right now, you really want to look at the semantics of what you're trying to accomplish here and mm-hmm. where the appropriate time to resume is. It's less about trying to cover your butt by saving workflow everywhere and more about, if this thing failed, what's the best place to restart so that I might continue to succeed?
Right. And there's some places you don't want to persist that you would actually want them to be redone if you restarted the computer. So there's a little bit of thinking about the strategy there. Mm-hmm. And a third way is something called suspend workflow. So this is the third case. If you actually want to deliberately suspend your workflow at some point, mm-hmm. you use this PowerShell workflow activity called suspend workflow. And it would run to that point. It would suspend. Suspend also calls persist, so it does it automatically for
you.
And then you can come back and resume and continue on. So those are the three ways you can do it. You can use checkpoint workflow, you can use the PS persist, And you can use this persistence preference, or you can suspend workflow. Four ways to do it.
So if a workflow is running within the context of a runbook and it enters this suspend state, would I then go into my list of runbooks and I would see these ones are started, this one's running, and that one is suspended?
Exactly. And
There you go. It just said the runbook suspended unexpectedly.
Perfect. That's nice perfect timing for us, yes. So what we've done here is I started that job while we were talking, mm-hmm. and what we're looking now is the output of that job, mm-hmm. the history of the job. And we can see here in the job summary that it says the runbook and it says it's suspended, okay? Mm-hmm. And it tells us what the exception was here. It says that the a storage account named A111 already exists in the subscription. Mm. So we were trying to make A000 and A111, and A111 already existed, okay? And this is telling us what was wrong. So as an operator, I would come in and say, oh, my runbook's suspended. I can go here and see what was wrong with it. And then what I'll do is I'll go back to my storage account up here. Yep, there it is. I'll go, and that's the old one. So this is the dirty one from before. We don't want it anymore. We'll delete that. And
so you could have written your code in a defensive way, but sometimes when you're trying to get things done, you don't do that. You may have a very long, very sophisticated runbook that works 99% of the time, except some weird state happens like this.
Right. I mean, this is a simple example, so are other ways to handle this.
Of course.
You can think of more complicated examples where you actually couldn't handle them mm-hmm. within the workflow itself, and so you'll want to do some remedial action outside of it.
Indeed. And if you were doing 100 of something, having it run all over again is going to be a big problem. So the ability to stop something and restart is fantastic.
Right. So that one got deleted. We'll go back to the workflow here. Mm-hmm. And here we are back to the dashboard. We'll be able to get to that job very quickly because it's showing up right here in our dashboard job. It's
suspended.
Right there. We're going to go right here back to the job.
All right.
And you can see that we have this stop, and we could either stop it or resume it. We're going to resume it this time.
All right.
And here's actually information on the first storage account it created, this A000. It got the A11 in it.
And then it stopped.
And so we'll resume this.
All right.
And then what we'll do.
If you say view job, where does that take you?
Well, view job is right here.
Is where we are right now.
Is where we are right now, yes. Mm-hmm. And
so then that's going to go and make a finish. It's going to reconstitute itself. This has been made. And it's almost like in Visual Studio where you've hit a breakpoint and maybe you've messed with some stuff to fix it and you've hit go again and it's just going to keep going.
Exactly. So if we stayed here and watched, this would it would show that we're going to get another message saying creating storage account A11. Mm-hmm. And then it would show you that it got created. But what I'll do is I'll actually go up here to the storage. I'm going to, so we, you see A00
there. I see the first one we made there.
I'm going to click F5 because the polling here. Uh-huh. And get it to show up
rather
again.
Than waiting. So we see if 11001 showed up.
If it's not there, still.
No worries.
Still working on it.
So that job is happening in the background. And can we go back to the automation job and take a look at that output? So looking at that particular runbook, and I noticed one thing that you have more runbooks than you're allowed. I know that we keep going past that. It just finished, by the way.
The usage?
You've got 24 out of 20 runbooks.
Yeah, this is all part of our preview. We actually have a couple tiers in Azure Automation right now. We're in our preview release. Hmm. And so everyone is pretty much a free tier. We have free and standard.
I see.
And what we're doing is we're trying to let people know what the free amount is, but they really have up to the standard amount.
Nice. So that just succeed then?
So that looks like it succeeded there. Let's go look at it.
All right.
And it still shows us the old exception, but now we see.
There it is. Succeeded.
See, we have both. We have A000 and A111. If we go here.
Picked it up right. And you can actually see the two times it tried to call.
F5.
Storage, and
so there we go. So
and it's creating it right now.
Right. So I mean, that's an example of how you could use this checkpointing to make your life better.
Yeah, we're learning all about Azure Automation and how PowerShell Workflow works in big distributed systems here on Azure Friday.